Good morning, Colorado. You're listening to the Daily Sun Up with the Colorado Sun. It's Wednesday, May 31st. Today, political correspondent Sandra Fish talked to Colorado Sun political editor Jesse Paul about former U.S. Representative Lynn Cheney's speech Sunday at Colorado College's graduation. Cheney is a CC grad and talked about pushing back on her fellow Republicans regarding Donald Trump and about the deadly January 6th riot at the U.S. Capitol in 2021. Before we start, we'd like to thank our sponsor, Pinnacle Assurance. Pinnacle Assurance is a workers' comp provider that's now offering enhanced coverage across the country. Pinnacle provides protection to Colorado businesses as they grow, no matter where that may be. Pinnacle goes where Colorado businesses go. Visit Pinnacle, that's PINNACOL.com for more information. Now, let's go back in time with some Colorado history. Colorado endures more than its share of flooding, from gradually swelling waterways after days of rainfall to flash floods caused by cloudbursts. In late May 1935, after several weeks of spring rain, one more storm proved one too many. Flooding caused damage and cost lives across the eastern slope, but residents of Elbert County bore the brunt of the storm. Kiowa Creek, a tributary of the South Platte River, faced steady rains, which caused it to rise early on May 30th. The danger seemed to pass, but as residents assessed the damage, a new crisis brewed. A sudden storm around noon quickly dropped 8 inches of rain, and Kiowa Creek's depth increased by 8 feet that afternoon. When darkness fell, the people of Elbert County knew they had been hit hard by nature's fury, but until the next morning they did not know how badly. As the waters receded on May 31st, Elbert County reeled. Half of the town of Elbert no longer existed. The flood inundated basements and buildings collapsed as if imploded. Kiowa, the county seat, fared nearly as badly. The Rocky Mountain News reported, quote, scenes of destruction as if a giant had strode through the towns, smashing houses and business buildings with unbelievable force. The Colorado National Guard patrolled to keep out scavengers, while the Civilian Conservation Corps helped with repairs. The flooding wiped out bridges, destroyed the Great Western Sugar Company factory, and badly damaged the Colorado and Southern Railway. 18 people died in the flooding. 6 were from Elbert County. Next, our feature story.
It's Jesse Paul here, political editor and reporter at the Colorado Sun, with Colorado Sun political correspondent Sandra Fish. Thanks for joining me, Fish.
Hey, it's great to be here, Jesse.
So, Sandra, you had an interesting Sunday down in Colorado Springs at my alma mater, Colorado College, where an interesting alumna was speaking to students, about 500 undergraduate students who are getting their degrees. I was not the speaker, someone a little bit more interesting than me. Who was it, Fish?
Well, it's hard to imagine anyone more interesting than you, Jesse, but former U.S. Representative Liz Cheney is pretty fascinating. And she was there. She was met with some resistance from the student body and the faculty. And I found it interesting that the university president, L. Song Richardson, really wanted Cheney to be there and to speak because of her experience standing up against former President Donald Trump and serving as vice chairwoman of the committee that investigated the January 6, 2021 insurrection at the U.S. Capitol. From the announcement of Liz Cheney as speaker, the university was getting blowback. And in fact, when President Robinson stood up to introduce Liz Cheney, I would say about half of the 500 students on the floor of Robinson Arena, which is a really nice arena, stood up, turned their chairs around so their backs would be to Liz Cheney. And two faculty members walked out as well, carrying signs.
Yeah, I remember in the lead up to her appearance, you know, the college announced this a few months ago, and the student newspaper, which I used to be the editor of, The Catalyst, had all kinds of opinion pieces and news stories from students who were really upset about this. And I think it's kind of an interesting reminder that, you know, before Liz Cheney was kind of the Republican poster child for pushing back against Donald Trump, she had some really controversial views. She ran for U.S. Senate briefly. There were controversies around her position on gay marriage. And certainly, you know, her father, former Vice President Dick Cheney, is a pretty controversial guy. I wonder if you can share a little bit about the message that she had for students and what she talked about. Did she bring up the January 6th investigation?
Oh, yeah. She had some lighter things, but she said up front that she lost her leadership. She was the third highest Republican in the House leadership. And she lost that position. And she said it was because other Republicans wanted her to lie about Donald Trump having lost the election and to lie about what was behind the January 6th insurrection.
My fellow Republicans wanted me to lie. They wanted me to say that the 2020 election was stolen, that the attack of January 6th wasn't a big deal, and that Donald Trump wasn't dangerous. I had to choose between lying and losing my position in House leadership.
One of the things she mentioned was the inscription on, I think it's Palmer Hall, which is something about the truth. And that was a pretty strong part of her message.
And I never walked through the front doors without pausing on the steps to look up at the words inscribed above the entrance. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
You know, she mentioned that early on in her speech.
Yeah, the Palmer Hall inscription, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I walked by that many times in college. Let's listen here to a little bit of her speech.
You may find yourself confronting challenges that you could not have imagined with very few allies by your side. And this morning, I want to tell you a secret. When the path ahead is obscured and unclear, you can find your way by resolving to do the next right thing.
Okay, so how was she received by the students in the audience? Were people clapping? You know, I know you mentioned that a bunch of people turned around, but it sounds like the students were still listening to what she had to say.
They were. And you know, the audience at large, there was resounding and sustained applause for her. And, you know, another thing she mentioned was how important it was for students to take part in civic life. And she noted that there are Republicans who are trying to prevent people in their generation from voting and that they've got to participate.
It's easy sometimes to imagine that our country, that our institutions, that our freedoms are self-sustaining. They are not. Each of us must resolve to defend them.
What were some of the other big lines from Cheney's speech that you felt like were notable?
She wanted to talk to the women. She said, this country needs more of you in office.
This country needs more of you in office.
May have noticed that men are pretty much running things these days, and it's not going all that well.
You may have noticed that men are pretty much running things these days, and it's not going all that well.
All right, and before I let you go, tell me a little bit more about the scene at Robson Arena, the hockey arena down at Colorado College. I heard outside there was some protests or maybe some writings or things like that. What did you see?
You know, there had been chalk put there the day before because it had rained out in a little bit, so it's hard to read. But, you know, things like, this is a hate-free zone. There were a couple references to her father, war crimes. And they were right there at the main entrance in very large letters. Not that she was probably going to see those, because I suspect she was brought through in a different entrance. Clearly, not everybody was excited about this, but there were students who were facing her. It's really worth noting, Lynn Cheney, her mother graduated from CC in 1963, and she's an honorary trustee at the college. Liz Cheney graduated in 1988, and two of her daughters went to school there. So, you know, this family has a history at the college.
Well, it was certainly interesting to see her at my alma mater talking, and maybe the second most famous person to give a graduation speech in recent years after Oprah Winfrey spoke a few years back. Certainly more interesting than the folks who spoke at my graduation, but alas, that's how it works. Thanks so much, Fish. Appreciate you going down there on Sunday, and thanks for joining me.
Great to talk with you.
You must make your lives into what you want them to be, what you dream they can be. And every American must answer this question. How will I serve my country and protect the freedom that is now mine by right?
You can read more at coloradosun.com. Finally, here are a few stories that you should know about today. The federal government is sending nearly $47 million to Colorado to fund wildfire fighting projects known as Fuel Bricks. These strategically located strips of land are cleared of underbrush near roads to help keep flames away from homes and water sources. During a wildfire, undergrowth like shrubs and small trees can act like a ladder and carry flames higher into tree canopies. Clearing it away from roads, rivers, and other landscape features slows down wildfires and enlarges the buffer zone. Wildland crews also use fuel breaks as safe spaces to work while battling fires. The former superintendent of Denver Public Schools will be Colorado's next education commissioner. The state's Board of Education on Monday named Susanna Cordova as the sole finalist for the position. Her appointment is scheduled to be formalized when the board next meets June 14th. She will take over for Katie Antis, who was stepping down in July after serving as commissioner since December 2016. Cordova began her career as a bilingual language arts teacher and has worked in education for more than 30 years, including as a teacher, principal, district leader, and currently as a superintendent in residence. Sudanese Coloradans continue to ask for help acknowledging the war that began in their home country in mid-April. At a recent forum in Aurora, hundreds demanded that state senators and representatives take a public stance against the war and push federal leaders to send humanitarian aid to the country. The group also wants to see the refugee resettlement process sped up and an extension of temporary protected status for Sudanese nationals living in the United States. Sudanese Coloradans say they're frustrated about how quickly the world has turned a blind eye to the most recent conflict in the North African country. For more information on all of these stories, visit our website, coloradosun.com. And don't forget to tune in again next time. The Colorado Sun is nonpartisan and completely independent. We're always dedicated to telling the in-depth stories we need today more than ever. And the Sun is supported by readers and listeners like you. Right now, you can head to coloradosun.com and become a member, starting at $5 per month for a basic membership, and if you bump it up to $20 per month, you'll get access to our exclusive politics and outdoors newsletters. Thanks for starting your morning with us, and don't forget to tune in again tomorrow.